Hello, I'm Fred Stella, president of the Interfaith Dialogue Association. Welcome to another edition of Common Threads. Last week, we began our conversation with Professor Joe Valenzano. He is a professor of communications at the University of Dayton, and we were speaking about television, spirituality, religion, portrayals, etc. Let me tell you a little bit about Joe. He has also been a manuscript reviewer for numerous journals, including the Journal of Media and Religion, the Southern Journal of Communication, and the Basic Course Annual. His research has also been recognized with a top paper award from the National Communication Association. His degrees, from bachelor's, master's to PhD, are Providence College, University of Maine, and Georgia State University. Publications include The Speaker, The Tradition and Practice of Public Speaking, Demon Hunters and Hegemony, Portrayal of Religion on CW's Supernatural, The Peacekeeping Mission, Bringing Stability to a Chaotic Scene, Framing the War on Terror in Canadian Newspapers, Cascading Activation. And finally, his final homily, Pope John Paul II's death as an affirmation of his life's message. So we welcome once again to Common Threads, Joe Valenzano. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Fred. Happy to be back.
Good. Excellent. So last week we were talking a lot about religion and television in general. We dipped our toes in film for the big screen just a bit, but let's expand on that. So the big screen, cinema. That has always delved more deeply and more honestly in, I say always, but for a considerable amount of time, right? They have been more honest, more open, more willing to ask the big questions than television has, correct?
I would say so. I mean, you could point back to The Exorcist, for example. As being a big screen TV, it was a bit of a risk to do at the time, but it paid off fairly well. But that was a real struggle in terms of the story, because the story kind of explores the big question of religion versus science.
Oh yes, you're absolutely correct. And then for instance, I look at the Godfather trilogy. I mean, religion plays a huge role in that. You have religious ceremonies, very important religious ceremonies in all three of them. You've got the baptism in number one, which is just horrific, because I'm assuming a lot of people who are listening to us have seen one, but you've got these executions happening while a baptism is going on. And then in the second, you have, I believe it's a first communion. And then in the third, you have Michael Corleone getting a great honor. He's involved in a ceremony where he becomes a knight of the church. Then, of course, in three, you've got the Vatican plays a tremendous role in that. Mm-hmm. Do you have any insights, takes, aside from what I've just said about The Godfather?
No, I think that's interesting. I think that the difference between The Godfather films, I think, and something like The Exorcist is the degree. The storyline, very specifically in The Exorcist, explores the notion of religion versus science and doesn't answer it. I think the Godfather trilogy, religion is there, but it's kind of a secondary or even third focus of the films. It's a component of the culture, but it is not the story in and of itself, which I think is one of the reasons why that show doesn't get in, so to speak, trouble for taking religion head on, because it's seen as part of the culture rather than being the central part of the story. I think what's shifted over time is that recently I'd say in the last 20 years, 30 years maybe, we've really seen much more direct stories about religion to varying degrees of effect, right? there was a film with Paul Bettany in the early 2000s called Legion, where the Archangel Michael rebelled against God to stave off the apocalypse. Those more direct renditions, I think, have become more common since The Exorcist, but especially in the last 30 years. The subtle inclusion or the less direct inclusion of religion being part of cultures, I think, has been pretty consistent in film, whereas not as consistent on TV.
You co-wrote a book about religion and the supernatural, the show entitled Supernatural on the mm-hmm. CW network. What was it about that show that inspired you to research it so thoroughly enough to write a book?
I think what was interesting is that, at least to me and Erica, the co-author, I think what was really interesting about that was we both found out we liked it, for one. And for two, was we were both fascinated with the fact that there was a very tight, and at the time it was very uncommon, there was a very tight 5-year plan for that story, for that show, revolving exclusively around the apocalypse as depicted in the Bible, or at least closely depicted to it. And it was really fascinating for us looking at that and looking at the fact that, something that made it different was that the without explicitly naming God, without explicitly having Jesus as a character on the show very specifically chose a lot of Catholic elements to bring into its storyline. For example, most of the ways in which demons were killed, for example, was through Latin incantation or Catholic artifacts. And so that was fascinating. The other piece that was fascinating was the fact that when they weren't tackling ghosts or demons and doing the religious storyline that was central to the first 5 seasons, they were bringing in mythical characters that were drawn from other religious faiths, some of which still practice, some of which have ceased being practiced by people across the globe. So we were interested in exploring the ways in which those were done. And again, we found in our initial set of research that those faiths that were not Christian but also not Catholic were essentially shown to be less than Catholic, meaning that Catholicism was depicted as the primary dominant faith in the show's world, which was different than we'd ever seen in TV.
So give us an example of a religion that was portrayed or characters from a religion that were not Catholic or Christian. Still practiced.
Yep, that are still practiced.
Mm-hmm.
So there is this wasn't the first 5 seasons, but they've brought in a golem, which is the golem is
Jewish.
Prevalent mm-hmm. in Judaism. They have brought in the jinn, and the jinn are traced loosely to Islamic faith.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Zoroastrianism, which is not really practiced anymore.
I would disagree with that. It still has a practice, specifically in India. We've had a Zoroastrian guest on the show probably a year or two ago.
I suppose I should say in the U.S.
Oh, okay.
The film is predominantly a U.S. show.
Mm-hmm.
So they've brought in all of these different, and they brought in, Greco-Roman mythological characters who were worshipped as gods. So Zeus has been in there, has been on the show. Odin from Norse mythology has been on the show. They brought in, Baldur.
Sure.
The list is long.
My question is, if I was Zoroastrian or I was Jewish or... I don't. Did they bring anybody from Hinduism in?
Mm-hmm.
If I was any one of those faiths and I was watching this, would I feel insulted? Do you think?
I don't think so. I think the reason why is they do enough respect to the religious tradition, but it's the mythological characters drawn from those faiths that are depicted as, sometimes they're depicted as demonic and sometimes they're depicted as replaced. And so, or self-interested, but not in a, how do I put this? It's not done in a very overt negative way.
Okay. Sure.
Which is one of the things I think the show just—it's one of the reasons I think the show has lasted as long as it has. It's in its 15th and final season this year. It's the longest-running show that centers its story around religion in media history.
And it was supposed to last 5 years?
The initial plan by Eric Kripke was a 5-year plan, and then they were renewed a number of years. And the CW network—it's one of their. It's been one of their flagship shows for over a decade.
That's amazing. You say that the show fortifies the myths of both American exceptionalism and also the frontier myth. Why don't we take those both separately? So let's let's clearly define American exceptionalism right now, and then discuss its two forms: exemplar and interventionist.
Sure. So basically, the central premise of American exceptionalism is that you know, God ordained the U.S. to be this shining city on a hill. That God has ordained America to be this exceptional nation that is blessed with many gifts, and that its job is to promote those gifts. Now, there are two different strands of it. The interventionist strand argues that the way to promote those gifts is to intervene in places that basically need it, whether that's through military aid or through humanitarian aid. It's mainly to be an active player in promoting American exceptionalism and the ideals that make us special. The exemplar strand argues a more passive approach of, we're the shining city on the hill, people will look to us and they'll emulate us, and so we shouldn't intervene. So it's kind of two kind of approaches to foreign policy that are tied to this central core myth of, you know, God blessing this country to be, you know, something special.
And how does the show do that? And before you answer, let me just remind people that you're listening to WGVU. The show is Common Threads. My name is Fred Stella, and our guest today is Professor Joe Valenzano, and we're talking about television and spirituality. So go ahead.
Sure. So the show underscores American exceptionalism because we argue that you have two main characters who are brothers who grow up in Kansas, which is about dead center of the U.S., and they are always successful at eradicating evil. And they're very interventionist. They travel the country, and they basically intervene to protect, to promote, the certain idea of being good people, to fight off evil, and so they've been, and in a lot of ways they've actually been, in the earlier seasons, they were saved by God on multiple occasions. You don't see God, but you know that it's Him. Angels intervene on their behalf. The devil wants to defeat them. They're central players in the apocalypse, both preventing and causing it. And so there's this idea that they're just special, that these two brothers from Kansas were ordained by God with this special destiny. And so that's kind of how it shows the American myth.
And then how about the frontier?
So the frontier myth is this idea that, the U.S., is constantly that the U.S. is a nation pushed frontiers, right? We went west. We're adventurous. We are, there's elements of justice and a little bit of wildness, and so the frontier myth is also based on a concept of erasure, where in pushing the frontier, we also erased cultures. That was kind of part of going west, and a lot of what we did with Native Americans, in a lot of ways, erased cultures, and so there's kind of a negative side to it. So the way this plays out in Supernatural is that the frontier isn't so much a place, west, but the frontier is they're always seen going into backwoods. The brothers travel around not on a horse, but in a I think it's like a 65. It's a really sweet car, but it's kind of a roadster kind of car, and they travel around the countryside, beating back demons that are on the frontier of the supernatural and the natural. So people aren't aware of them. The erasure takes place in that they are oftentimes defeating and eliminating gods or emissaries of faiths that are not Christian and specifically not Catholic. They're basically erasing them from existence.
Would you say the average American watching it would be able to discern that they are Catholic or that they have a Catholic worldview as opposed to just a generic Christian worldview?
I think they'd see elements of Catholicism throughout the show. I don't think it takes too long to watch the show to figure that out. I mean, season 5, you have the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, straight out of the Book of Revelation. Although interestingly enough, and media has done this for years, the Four Horsemen that are actually in Revelation are not the Four Horsemen that are in the show, which is, I think, a fascinating move by media over the course of the last 100 years of how it's distorted that text. But I do think people would pick up on it. It's pretty clear.
What is the difference between what's in the Bible and what the media is portraying the Four Horsemen?
So if you don't mind, I'll flip the script for a moment and ask you a question.
Sure.
So if you were to name the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, who are they?
Let's see here. The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. You know, I don't know if I could name the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. Give me one.
War.
Oh, okay. How about poverty?
Nope.
Nope. Oh, boy. Lust?
Nope.
Oh.
Lust is in the Seven Deadly Sins.
Oh, that's right.
Who also make an appearance in the show.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, you're going to have to tell me.
So in the Book of Revelation, the actual source, what people would name, if you ask most folks who are familiar, they would say war, famine, pestilence, and death.
And as that comes out of your mouth, I go, yep, okay, I've heard
so,
that, yep.
War, famine, pestilence, death. Pretty much any depiction, with one notable exception, Good Omens, war, famine, pestilence, and death are the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, and that people would say are in the Bible. The trouble is those aren't the four in Revelation. That's three of the four. Pestilence is actually not a Horseman of the Apocalypse, and there's a reason why this has happened. The way that Revelation has been translated over the years, it reads as war, famine, conquest, and death. And what's interesting is you know, war and conquest are very closely related. Conquest and death have some overlap. And so it just made it easier over time to replace one. And so in the popular vernacular, conquest was easily replaced by pestilence. And pestilence, you know, the Four Horsemen are often also used in a lot of people who claim to predict the future or interpret predictions of the future. And so it's very easy to identify those markers in society to say, oh, this is where we are. We're in Revelation, right? You've got war, you've got famine, you've got disease, and you've also got death. It's hard to say, well, you've got war, you've got famine, you also have conquest, and you have death. So it's been an interesting shift to see that kind of popular replacement of what's actually in the source text.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I obviously wouldn't have been able to tell you. What do we know about the writers of the show and the creator?
Kripke, I believe, is a Christian, and he was it's interesting the way the show has developed. It's, like I said, 15 years, and Eric Kripke ran the first five. He had a very clear vision for the first five. And his vision, actually, in interviews that he's given, he very clearly says that he's tying this to the Christian faith and notions of the apocalypse, but also, you know, really wanting to explore mythology. The other writers that have taken over since, I know less about because the showrunners have shifted, I think, in the 10 years since Kripke left the show, there's been, I think, four or five different showrunners. So it's hard to say with any type of off-the-cuff answer what their particular approaches are.
At one point, they stop the apocalypse, and they supposedly thwart the will of God. How do you do that if you are an agent of God?
The way the show works is the apocalypse was being driven by angels and demons, not by God. God is actually absent. God has left heaven. He's been gone for a while. And so the angels and demons are just, they view it, well, the angels specifically view the apocalypse coming as, you know, we need to do God's plan. The one who wants the apocalypse is Lucifer. The angels, to a degree, want it too, because they view it as this is the culmination of what they believed God's plan was before he ditched heaven. And so the brothers begin to see things differently, and they view themselves as, this plays out in one of our analyses of the show, the argument forwarded by the brothers being successful of thwarting the will of God is that, you know, people are better than the divine, right? That if you trust in people, if you trust in being human, that's far better than putting your faith in the divine.
That's a fascinating take. I was also going to ask, is, you know, the idea of God leaving heaven is mind-boggling, okay? Regardless of what theology you may hold, just the concept that if, in fact, there is a God and there is a realm of God, that then God is not in this realm anymore. And I was wondering, are there any religious texts or classical texts, novels, anything that has ever explored this to the best of your understanding and knowledge?
None really that I'm aware of. I do know that there is another TV show based on a graphic novel that plays with this same idea, and that's Preacher, which was on AMC for, it just concluded a 4-year run. But Garth Ennis was the author of the original text, but in there, God leaves heaven. And it leaves angels kind of not knowing what to do, devils to roam free, and God essentially just comes to Earth because he wants to explore what it's like to be human.
Ah, okay. Okay. And I know sometimes when you're just talking about concepts the way we are right now, something might sound ludicrous, but then if you watch it the way it's constructed and written and acted out, it may make perfect sense. Has God been gone from heaven throughout the whole series?
No, actually. In both Preacher and Supernatural, God is found. In Supernatural, there was a character introduced in the fourth and fifth seasons who was said to be a prophet of God, and his name is Chuck. And the brothers, the Winchester brothers, they befriend Chuck and they help him out. And what ends up being revealed about four seasons later in a special appearance by the person who had played Chuck is that Chuck is God.
Ah.
And so they're now in their 15th season, and God, what was also revealed, you know, I hate to give spoilers for people, but what's revealed is that God writes a series of novels. It's one of the creative things about the show is God writes novels about the Winchester brothers, basically fan fiction, in the show.
Oh, no kidding.
And they perform what he writes. And so they're now in the 15th season, and God is now actually the big bad of the 15th season.
Okay, that really does sound like a little bit of brilliance. Now that you've explained that, I appreciate that. I'm curious, Jote, the position that you are in at the University of Dayton and with your writings, does Hollywood ever seek you out for consulting, or do they want you to sit in and watch things for them?
No, that's actually never. I've never been lucky to get one of those calls.
Well, maybe somebody will be listening to Common Threads online and will say, hey, how come we don't have Joe in our stable?
It's, you know, I wish I was as creative as these writers, to be honest with you. But yeah, my trek through Supernatural has produced quite a bit of scholarship, and you know, it's also been fascinating. And when I teach a class here at Dayton called The Road to Hell with a faculty member from religious studies, and when we talk about Supernatural, but one of the things we say at the beginning of the class is, by the end of this class, you will never watch television or a movie the same way again.
I would imagine, just by talking to you today and last week, I would get that. Do you have a website, Joe?
I do not. I'm just through the University of Dayton's web portal. That's where I live.
Yeah, and that is where I found information about you. So I would recommend that if anybody has any interest in Professor Valenzano's publications, to go to the University of Dayton's website, and he's easily found. Joe, it's been absolutely wonderful having you both today and last week as well, and you've certainly whetted my appetite, because I have never seen Supernatural, but now you kind of got me wanting to see that.
I highly recommend it. It's you can actually start watching episodes on Netflix if you wanted to.
Yeah, I do see that it's on Netflix. That's great. Wonderful. Okay, well, have yourself a wonderful day, and once again, thank you so much. You've been listening to Common Threads here on WGVU. I'm Fred Stella. Please join us again next week, right here on Common Threads.